let's come back to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that we are filled by the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is invisible, right? And how do you know you are filled by the invisible Holy Spirit? How?
Because you see the crosses or stuff. How do you know we are filled by the Holy Spirit? Oh, you are new. Sorry. Welcome.
Bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. When we are newly baptized, we try to judge whether we are filled by the Holy Spirit by what? When you pray, oh, your body shaking it up, vibrates, even the wood floor, you shaking, oh, you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Right? If we define by this, then the elderly people cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit. You cannot shake so heavily. Really, when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, sometimes you will shake very heavily. I still recall one of the brothers in Moscow. 1995, gospel been preached there, and that brother was a pediatrician, come from China. And the first time he joined the evangelical service, he received Holy Spirit. He knelt down in the wood floor, and he was able to jump up and down and up and down. Anybody, you try, after the break period of time. Not in the carpet, go out, knelt down on the hard floor. Can you jump? When you kneel down, can you jump? It's almost impossible, right? If anyone, you can jump and give you a reward. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. He was able to jump up and down. So after 10 years later, he started to have doubt. Is that true? Holy Spirit? Then he tried to imitate that kind of jumping. He can never did it. So vibration of the, that is the beginning of fullness, Holy Spirit. And another one is tongue. When we are newly receiving Holy Spirit, when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, sometimes the tongue is so fluent and so loud, even if people far away can hear it. Right? So initially, when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we can judge by what you see, outer appearance, a loud voice, heavy vibration. Right? After we receive Holy Spirit longer, and to judge whether we are filled by the Holy Spirit by what? Whether we are transformed in our life. In other words, whether we are bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then we are filled by the Holy Spirit. If we don't bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, even though we receive Holy Spirit, we are not filled by the Holy Spirit yet. Now, the question is, who can recite 9 different kind of expression of Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit? Who can recite? Raise your hand. Most of you are sister, our brother. You all can. The first one is love. The second one is joy. The third one is peace. The fourth one, patience, long suffering. The fifth one, kindness. Then goodness. Then faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, then that's all, right? Okay. Yeah. If we have all this kind of expression in your daily life, we are filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you, anyone feel you are filled by the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay, how come nobody raise hand? In your daily life, you can experience this 9 different kind of life. Raise your hand. Not yet, right? Not yet. So, we all receive Holy Spirit, but we are not filled by the Holy Spirit yet. So, that is the reason we have to pray hard. Yesterday we talked about love. Holy Spirit pours down the love of God inside us. So, when we are filled with Holy Spirit, you are a person filled with love. And yesterday we mentioned one of the expression of love is when you look at person, you will look from the spiritual perspective and you are going to have compassion on them. Because most of the people, physically, they may live a very well-to-do life. But spiritually, they are the living dead. No hope at all. Living dead. So they are very pitiful. They are naked in the eyes of God. They are poor in spiritual perspective. And another way we know we have Holy Spirit, if we read Acts chapter 2, verse 44-46. Acts chapter 2. Verse 44-46. Now all who believe were together and had all things in common. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had needed. Verse 6. So continued daily with one accord in temple and breaking the bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Look, 44 to 46 talk about they dip together and they share everything in common together. And some of them even sell all their property and bring the money to the church. So their money become everyone's money, become God's money. So what does that mean? When we receive Holy Spirit, we are filled by the love of God. And the love of God, very important point, the love of God is selfish, right? Selfish, this is a common human being, right? We are all selfish. Oh. Because I work hard, I can earn more. So that's the reason I work hard. Right? All because of selfishness. If I work hard and other people can receive more, then I'm not going to work hard because I'm not the one who benefits. Right? So parents is not selfish. Parents work very hard. For what? For the benefit of the children. So,
love. If there is love, there is no selfishness.
If there is selfishness, there is no love. No. And then, how can they share everything in common, right? Most of people, this belongs to me, and that belongs to you, right? The worst people is, this belongs to me, yours belong to me too. And that's worse, right? Oh. But the best way is whatever mine belong to you, you belong to me, right? And that's called share everything in common. So how to conquer selfishness is a very difficult task. You know, communism has one very ideal goal. Communism, we all share everything together. We all work together, we eat together, share everything together. But the communism country, you can see two parts. The first is fail. Russia, they start from 1917. And 1991, the Russia collapsed. It start from communism. And the second communism country is what? North Korea and Cuba. All their car, 1950s car. Do you want to drive 1950s car? Of course, if you drive antique, you enjoy it, it'll be fine, right? Oh, why? Because they are very poor. No. How come? Because when everybody work very hard and they share everything common, there's no incentive for people to work hard. Oh. Also, China, they use change direction. Now, if you work hard, you can earn more. After they emphasize you work hard, you can earn more. All the productivity keep on shooting up. So human beings are very selfish. Oh, this is the evidence. That's the reason communism cannot be successful. Oh, but But in the book of Acts chapter 2, it's a big family. How can it's visible? Because the love of God come to us. You know, Jesus loved us so much, he sacrificed his life for us. Life is precious. Life is priceless. He can share the life for us. If that kind of love fell upon our heart, and then we are going to be waiting to sacrifice for the one who we love. And then there will be selfishness. So everybody can live together. Oh. So, when we love each other, you are going to see the church community is full of love, shares everything, a good fellowship, because we love each other. And also, if we read the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talk about all different kind of virtues of love, bearing one another, right? Forgiving one another. We have shortcomings, somebody will bear with it. Somebody has shortcoming, we will bear with it. So even though we have shortcoming, we can live together harmoniously. Why? Because of love. And if we have no love, then we fight. So it's different. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And another thing we can see that love is Acts chapter 7, verse 16. Concerning this, I have something to say. You know, sometimes in the big church, during the lunch time, they start to take the food, right? When we start to take the food, what we think? Behind me, there are about 100, 150 members who are going to share this part of food. So we just take the first portion, reasonable portion, that we want to eat, right? Then after everybody take their own portion, if there's still left over, then what? We come back to a second serve. And that is love. What is selfish? This dish is very delicious, right? You pile up the whole dish, right? And we even in the church, sometimes we see it. You take so much food and you cannot consume it. And then the one who lies behind have no food to eat, especially delicious food. And the one who pile up so much cannot finish and dump in the trash can. So from a small matter, either way would you show love. This is a very good dish. Let me take a small portion and so everybody can have enjoy the very delicious food. And everybody finish, let me take the second one. Now this is one of the small signs to show, we are the one who's selfish, right? And sometimes if we eat fruit or watermelon, this is very sweet watermelon, just newly released, right? And you use a dish to pile up the watermelon, right? And 100 people eating there, when you reach to the 30s, no watermelon available. Why? Because all the table pile up a lot of watermelon. If we really selfish, right? I bring one or two piece. And then when everybody serve, still have some left over, then let me have a second serve. Then still have left over, let me have third serve. Because I love everybody. I want everybody to share this good food. That is called love. So love, yes, you can talk a so big sacrifice. One day I want to sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Right, I won't die for him in Africa. That's so moving, right? Why not start from the small one? Right? Reserve good food, good fruit for somebody who lying behind. That one of example. And another example is what? When we do the cleanup duty, right? If we are lazy, we don't do our part, do you know what is going to happen? Somebody is going to do our part. And so everybody shares the workload, then everybody's workload is only a little bit. If somebody don't share their workload, and somebody is to bear the extra workload. So what is love? Love means not selfish. This is my duty. I have to do it. I will do it right, and I will do it completely. So I will not burden other people. So love is very important. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How did Stephen die? How did Stephen die? He was stoned to death. Before he was stoned to death, what did he see? What did he see? He see, gaze at heaven. Heaven open. Who is waiting? Jesus stand in the right side of God. Oh, this is a very difficult interpretation because this is related to Godhead. How come Jesus is God and Jesus stand on the right side of God? Right? Oh, this is Godhead. We don't discuss here. Right? One day, if you are almost ready to die, right, and you see the heaven open, wow, that will be the best. If we are ready to die, you see two persons wearing dark waiting for you. How do you feel? Waiting in the door gate. I'm waiting to take you to somewhere. How do you respond? Oh, no, I don't want to follow. But it's too late. All right? Now, right? And then when Stephen was stoned almost to die, if we put ourselves into the shoes of Stephen, somebody stone keep on flowing on you, right? You are innocent party because you did not do what they accuse you. What are you going to do? For most of the common people, what are they going to do? I think most of the common people, you are very strong. You pick up the stone, hit back. Right, before I die, at least one kill one person. Right? And for those who are weak, probably they start to curse, right? If I go to hell, I'm going to bring you together, or something like that. Right. But you know, when person been cornered, put into the extreme condition, how do we react that represent what kind of person we are? In an ordinary situation, you cannot tell what kind of person you are. Today, if God let you earn $1 million, what will be your reaction? That will be representation of your spirituality, right? $1 million, let me offer the tithes first, right? 100,000. And then I use another 10% to do the charity work. Then 200,000 gone, right? And then another 100,000 help my family. 300,000 gone, right? Then that's a reflect we are a good person, right? But if you earn the $1 million, right? And start to go to Las Vegas to have fun. And buy something luxurious car to have fun and go to trip. First class airplane. Then we are no different from the ordinary people. The same, when we are put in extreme, you are wrongly accused. How do we respond? Stephen, before he died, he knelt down and prayed, "God forgive them." How can this possible? A person being wrongly accused to the point of death, he asked God to forgive them. How can it be possible? That because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. He was filled by the love of Jesus Christ. So to a Christian, to love your enemy is possible. First example is Jesus Christ. But a lot of people say, oh no, because Jesus Christ is God himself. So no wonder he can do it, because he is God himself. So no problem. If I am Jesus Christ, I'm God, come from the heaven, I can do it. But if we look into Stephen, Stephen is not Jesus Christ. Stephen is an ordinary human being. How can Stephen do it? Because he was filled by the love of God. So he was able to forgive those who stoned to death. So a person who filled with that will be a person who always forgives. Even though we cannot forget, but we can forgive. Because forget or not is not your own control. Do you know? The more you want to forget something, the more you will remember it, right? Because you sleep on the bed, I'm going to forget, but you remember even more deeper. Our brain is not like a computer. You delete it and it's gone forever, right? Sometimes you cannot forget it, but you can forgive. Once we forgive it, then we can pray for the person, because those who give us harm wrongly is pitiful, because they did not know what they are doing. Think, Jesus Christ prayed for those who stoned him. Why? Because they did not know what they are doing. They did not know to crucify a righteous person, the consequence is very terrible. They did not know that. So forgive them. The same thing. If we are so sure that I am an innocent party, I will be wrongly accused, right? And those who accuse us wrongly, they did not know what they are doing. They will be held accountable to God. You know, there is a one who is righteous, who is in control. He is a God of justice. So he deserves our sympathy and pray for them, forgive them. That's called fruit of the Holy Spirit, love. Now, the second one, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Now, let's read together. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. So when we come to the church, don't expect the church prepare something like what? Cafeteria, all you can eat. Because that's another purpose we come to the church. It's not for eating and drinking. So sometimes we have to learn to adapt ourselves with all different kind of food, with all different kind of environment. That's called maturity. I know some of the youth, when they look into the lunch table, this I don't like it, and they try up eating McDonald's. If we can change ourselves, even I don't like it, but because this is a meal prepared by the church, I want to have fellowship with brother and sister. I am still eating in the church. That will be wonderful. Because we come to the church, it's not for eating and drinking, right? It's only for one meal. But the kingdom of God is what? 17. In righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does righteousness means? How do you define righteousness? Brother, how do you define righteousness? You, the third one, in the middle. Sorry, yeah. How do you define righteousness? All the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Generally speaking, it's right. But more specific, what does righteousness mean? A sister. What does righteousness mean? A sister. Second row. Right side. You don't know. Very simple. Righteousness means everything right. They call righteousness. Everything right in the eyes of God, they call righteousness. Then you will ask, am I not right? Right? We behave, we think, we talk everything according to our own, what we think, which is right. So your righteousness may be not different from my righteousness, right? When we say righteousness, we are talking about the righteousness of God. Everything right in the eyes of God. You do whatever is right in the eyes of God. I'm doing whatever is right in the eyes of God. And there's a righteousness. So from another point of view, righteousness means what? No sin. The kingdom of God, the first characteristic is no sin. Sin cannot control. Sin cannot prevail because God is there. So when God is there, there is no sin. God is sinless. God's power will help us to do whatever is right. That's called righteousness. A lot of family chaotic because not righteous, not right. Right? You're fighting, you're quarreling, and hating. That's not right. And the priority is not right. Value is not right. So the first one, kingdom of God is righteousness. The second is peace, right? The third is joy in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine your family have no sin and very peaceful and very joyful? What kind of family it is? You don't know. A family had no sin and very peaceful and very joyful. What kind of family it is? Righteous family? Okay. What kind of family it is? It is a family, in a life in this world, like a life in heaven. Oh, that is the best family. Oh. So when you want to get married in the future, you have to strive forward. Your family becomes the kingdom of God. No sin, peaceful and joyful. Oh, that's most important. Now, where is the kingdom of God? Somebody asked Jesus Christ, where is your kingdom? What was the answer of Jesus? The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? He said, where is the kingdom of God? He said, where is the kingdom of God? First, the definition of kingdom of God is the place where God is the king, right? So that is called kingdom of God. Now, a piece of land where God is the king. Then where is the kingdom of God? How did Jesus answer? The kingdom of God is in where? Is in your heart. Oh. And the second, the kingdom of God is in the church. The third, the kingdom of God is in heaven. That's called the kingdom of God. So that when the kingdom of God fulfilled, one of the very important real characteristics is joy in the Holy Spirit. Which means the Holy Spirit will fill upon this kingdom, and because of this, everybody will feel very joyful. So the second expression of the fruit of Holy Spirit is joy. Joy means from your inner fulfillment. And that kind of joy is not coming... usually in the church, we don't talk about... In the Bible, we don't talk about happiness. We talk about joy. What's the difference? Today I come to church, I'm very happy. And today I come to the church, I'm very joyful. What's the difference? Yeah, joy is something in your heart, spiritual. Happy is come from environment, some kind of stimulation, fulfillment of your desire. That's called joy. So you go to Disney, you are very joyful or you're very happy? Usually we use very, very happy. So, joy in the Holy Spirit means Holy Spirit fill upon you. You are very content. You are very satisfied. You feel very sweetness. That kind of happy called joy of the Holy Spirit. And then that kind of joy, according to John chapter 5, let's look into John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And then he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow river of living water. Out of his heart, inside, will flow flow of living water, will gas out the living water. So that kind of joy come from in your heart and keep on springing out. That kind of joy. So even the outer environment is very bad, but because we are filled by the Holy Spirit, the joy will be issue from the bottom of your heart, like a spring, keep on gushing out. It's a miracle. When we read the book of Philippians, right? The book of Philippians, from chapter 1 to that chapter, talk about a lot of joy, 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 right? When we read the book of Philippians, If a friend write you a letter like a book of Philippians, you will guess where your friend will be. Probably in Hawaii, right? Live in 5-star hotel and look at Waikiki and drink on champagne. I'm very joy, very joy. I'm very joyful, right? Oh, but nobody has ever imagined the book of joy actually written in where? In prison. In prison. In prison, even there was a possibility he will be beheaded. So he said, I'm half praised between life and death. Now, you know, death is real in prison. But he was so joyful. How can this possible? Because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh. So don't think TDP students, they are all very, because they want to become a preacher, so they have to suffer. No television, right? No this, no that, no game, no that. So now they must be suffering. You are wrong. If you think it this way, you will never join the TDP. Right. TDP is the most joyful experience. Right? When you cry, when you look from your front yard window, right? If there is a hill, very beautiful, you always enjoy it. I don't want to move because the picture is too beautiful, right? But if you crawl and over the hill and you will look somewhere even more beautiful. But if we are only satisfied with what you see, then we have no desire to cross over the beautiful hill. The same thing. If we are all satisfied with our present life, you say, okay, that's good enough. Right? But if we really longing to be closer to God, we sacrifice the worldly happiness. And then you cry over to the peak of spiritual level. And then all of a sudden you see an invisible world, the spiritual world. You are filled by the Spirit of God, the words of God, the love of God. All of a sudden you see so joy experience. Oh. So the training of DDP is very joyful. Even though you look at that, life is very simple. It's very joyful. Oh. Why? Because it's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Oh. Morning, we get up, pray for 1 hour. Can you do it? Pray for 1 hour? Oh. Afternoon, we pray for another 1 hour. If you really pray hard, you are filled by the Holy Spirit. After you pray, you feel so relaxed, so happy, so joyful. Really. If you don't believe, you try. Right. We still have 10 days of RSTS. Every day, pray hard. Not only prayer section, when you have spare time, pray, pray, pray. Until you're filled by the Holy Spirit, you go back home, you keep on smiling. And your father, why are you smiling? Somebody give you anything? Yes. Somebody give me anything. What? Show me. It's too good to share. Why? Because it's something inside. Tell your parent, right? If you want to share, you follow me. Tomorrow morning, get up, pray for 1 hour. Yeah. Lift up your parents' spirituality if you are very joyful, right? But if you go back home, you are not joyful, you are not fulfilled, you still get into the internet and start to online for midnight, your parents look, RSTS, no use. And next time, just follow me. Oh, right? Go to work in the world, to do the part-time work, earn the money, to support the family. Because no work, no, doesn't work for you. God is so powerful. How can God not work in you? Right? If we are waiting to open our heart, we are waiting to do it. Oh, the joy of the Holy Spirit is yours. It's free. Oh, you pay not even one penny. It's free. It's yours. You can be transformed. If you really want to pursue it. You know, if you want to study a good school, you have to study hard, right? To pay a price, right? Study hard is to pay the price. If you want to get something out of RSTS, you have to pay a price. What is the price? Is the money not a monetary price? The price is what? Take action. Pursue it. Joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Very, very wonderful. When we are filled by the joy in the Holy Spirit, you sit before the TV, the television, that soap opera. You say, oh, why I didn't need that? Right. Not because I don't watch that. Why? Because the Bible says, or the preacher say, this is worse than it stuff. No. You sit by yourself watching for 10 minutes. You cannot stand there. You cannot sit there because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fulfill your heart. Why do I need this kind of stuff? Not because you should not, but because you don't need that. Once you don't need that, you are so free. Do you know? As a Christian, we are so free. You are free to go to Las Vegas, but you don't need that. Right? We don't need to drink the alcohol. Because we have spiritual wine. The joy in the Holy Spirit inside us already. Why I need to use the alcohol to numb myself? No need. Not because I cannot, but because I don't need that. So we are free. In the world, when you are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, we are free. No. But if we are hungry, just like a fish, it's very easy to get hooked. You know, when you try to catch a fish, when the fish is very hungry, do you know? Even you don't have to use a bait. You just put on the hook and the fish just catch it. Just eat up the hook. Sometimes we are like fish. Too hungry in our heart. So Satan don't use any bait. Only the hook comes down and you bite it. You hook. Oh, right. Oh, so joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, very important. Oh, our life will spring out the inner satisfaction, inner sweetness, inner happiness in your heart. Oh. The next one is peace. When you think about peace, how do you define it? Let's read John first. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14:27. John 14 verse 17, 27. Now let's read aloud together. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as of the world give you. I give you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So according to chapter 14, verse 27, what does peace mean? Look, find the answer from verse 27. What does peace No fear and no worry. That means peace. No fear and no worry. That means peace. So Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you the peace. And the peace is not of the world. So from the worldly perspective, what is peace? Worldly perspective. Nothing happened, right? Let go peace. Oh. So, if you try to use a drawing of the picture to show the peace, peace means there's no wind, right? And a huge mountain, in front of the mountain, there's a lake, and the many pieces of cloud reflected from the lake. Oh, very peaceful, right? No storm and nothing. So peaceful. And then another way to show peace is there's a cliff and there's a water flow running out from top of the cliff. Right? In the middle, there was a tree. And a big tree, there's a branch stitched out, almost reached to the water flow. And on top of that branch, there was a bird staying there. And the bird just, use one leg to stand there and the birds were dozing there. Can you do it? Why? You probably need Chinese Kung Fu, right? That's called peace. Even the water flow keep on coming just surrounding you, you are able to sleep. That's called peace. No worry and no fear. Oh. So where can you see this kind of peace? You look into Jesus Christ, right? One day he was in a boat. He wanted to sail the other side of the lake. he was so tired, so he just fall asleep. And you know the Galilee, right? Galilee, when the sun set, the temperature varies a lot. So create a wind, a gusty wind. So the boat start to heavily shaken, and the water keep on spreading over into the boat. If you were in that boat, what are you going to do? If you are in a boat, one day we are in Nigeria, we try to cross a river. One of the brothers go with us. Oh, in the middle of the river, all of a sudden, that boat keep on moving around, vibrating. Oh, that brother was so scared. Oh, right? Really, we are whole human beings. Oh. And Jesus was able to fall asleep. So what did the disciple do? They wake up Jesus. Oh, we are dying. How come you are still sleeping? Right? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Jesus wake up, and then what did Jesus do? Right. He cursed the storm. And what happened? The storm come down. Right. Who come from Texas? One day, if you look into tornado come, you curse the tornado. What is going to happen? Nothing happened, right? We are human beings. And Jesus is Almighty God, right? The real Jesus was not scared because he has the power to calm the storm. So Jesus said, the peace I give you is not the peace in the world. The peace in the world means nothing happened. The peace of Jesus is because he abides in us. Because he abides in us. He's inside us. So we have no fear. We have no worry. Because the Almighty God abides in me. Now we have no time. We think about Psalm chapter 23. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what is next? I feel no evil. For what? For you are with me. This psalm was written by whom? David. David is not theoretically imagined. David was talking about his own personal experience. When David was a young shepherd, he was taking care of sheep of his father's sheep, right? All the lion come, right? And the lion just grabbed one of the sheep and tried to run away. If you are David, what are you going to do? Oh, run away, cry up to the tree, right? What did David do? David chased the lion, right? And rescued that sheep. Is that all? No. David hit the lion and killed the lion. We don't know which part did he hit. But he killed the lion. Right? Why? Why he killed the lion? Because God was with him. This is first time experience, right? Second time, David obeyed his father's wish and went to see his brother, right? And also all of a sudden see Goliath. Oh, Goliath is very high. Nobody was able to fight with him. And that Goliath challenged the people of God and blaspheming the name of God. Can anybody who belong to God come and fight with me, right? And everybody so timid. Oh, right? And David said, okay, how come this guy blaspheming my almighty God's name? I'm going to revenge for the name of God. So David just go out, want to fight. Right, right. And the commander said, no, little boy, you are too proud. You want to show off your name? It's too dangerous, right, to be famous by fighting with Goliath. Right. Before you become famous, then you die. Right. And then they want to give him some kind of armor, but he refused it. But he used one stone to kill Goliath. Why? Because God was with him. So the fruit of Holy Spirit is peace. What does that mean? The Almighty God fill upon our heart. The Almighty God abide in us. If God is with us, what are we afraid of? If God is with us, what are you worried about? So that's called peace. Very peaceful mind. Tranquility in our heart. Very calm. It's not easy to get irritated because God is inside. How wonderful that will be. No matter how storm happened outside, you have no worry because God is with you. That's called the fruit of Holy Spirit. And also peace can interpret as interpersonal relationship with other people. You are a very peaceful person. You don't like to fight other people. Why? Because Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like what? Like dove, right? Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a sparrow. It's a sparrow, sometimes we'll bite each other, right? Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a raven. Raven still not good enough. Like a dove, very gentle. All right? So when you're filled by the Holy Spirit, the personality will be very gentle, very meek, like Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Now, the next section, we are going to continue the next 60 minutes, 1 for 10 minutes. Okay, let's pray in silence.